It costs the same to give or lend. It costs the same to give or lend. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
It costs the same to give or to lend. I don't really think that's necessarily positively true from the point of view that when you give out of the kindness of your heart, and you give lovingly, and you wish them well with it, and that's beautiful. However, when you lend something to somebody, you're expecting it to come back, and you're expecting them to appreciate it, and you're expecting it to come back in the same condition that you lent it to them, and it never does. So therefore, it costs more to lend than it does to give. But you get more back if you give than when you lend. But most people like to lend rather than give, because most people are possessed by what they have, and so therefore they lend it rather than give it, because if they give it, then they don't have it anymore to be possessed of it. And that can be a very tough situation, as you well know. Now, why would you ever lend anything to anybody? Here, let me lend you my wife. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, really? How interesting. She will help you with your bookkeeping. She will help you with your, while your wife is in the hospital to help you to keep your house in order. Oh, you can lend me your wife. How nice of you. You see, you have to be very careful with your terminology. If you say, my wife said she wants to help Eileen out while she's in the hospital, and, you know, she'll come over and make you breakfast in the morning for you and stuff like that, and what have you. But actually, you'd be a very smart person if you just get up in the morning and get your family together and wrestle them over here and have breakfast with us and then send them off to school and then come and have supper with us and what have you, and go to bed. That way my wife will not have to wash two sets of dishes, ours and yours, and keep up two kitchens, ours and yours, and so forth. And she'll be much more comfortable in her own home than in yours. But who's going to pay for the food that we eat? Well, just go shopping and bring the food over here, and we will eat it, and we will share it with you. And so, you see, our food that we buy, we let you share it with us. We make meals and invite you to eat, but we're not going to give you our food that we buy so you can have it in your house, and that way you'll eat it too. You see how possessive we are even of things like buying food? We're possessive of things like, now, I'd be happy to do your laundry for you, but I'm not going to sort it, and I'm not going to put it in the dryer, and I'm not going to do any of those things, because I don't want to get it mixed up with my family's laundry. Because we both bought towels at the towel sale. We both bought T-shirts for the kids, you know, in the same place. So you just keep your laundry at your house, and we keep ours at our house. And take it all, and, you know, every 2 days, take everything, throw it in the washing machine, and throw some soap in there, and turn it on, let it run. And then when you're done, then take it out, and shake it out, and hang it on hangers and put it away. And, oh, is that all there is to it? Well, you might have some white clothes that look a little pinky or orangey or bluey and things like that. Well, I don't want that. Well, are you stupid? What do you mean, am I stupid? Well, don't you know to separate blues from whites and reds from whites? And reds from blues and so on, so the colors won't bleach into each other. Usually the colors stand alone pretty well and they handle themselves. But this is what happens when you buy colored clothing that are not, fastened in so that they bleach out, you know. So, well, gee, Liz, there's a lot to being a wife, you know, being a housekeeper. Not really. If you think there's a lot to it, there's a lot to it. But if you just think, hey, I will do everything intelligently. Now, when you take the stuff and you put it in the dryer, I haven't got time for it. Well, you got time to sit down and watch television. You got time to read the newspaper. You got time to talk with the kids. You got time to take a walk with the dog. But you don't have time, 10 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes. It takes a short laundry and put it in and look and say, now this is stuff that is high cotton, and this is this and this is this. So I dry this and this batch, and I dry this and this batch. Well, that costs a lot of money. Throw it in at once, you know, one batch. Well, your things will come out a little differently. Some things will come out smaller, and some things will come out bigger. Now, can you see by, it is not nice when someone comes over and is helpful to you and uses your things and your equipment and your clothing and what have you and doesn't use good judgment. You see, when people borrow things, they don't care. When they borrow your lawnmower, they leave it outside. When they borrow your tools, like Ingeborg here, she borrowed my tools, and she left them sitting outside of the barn for through three rainstorms that we had, the real heavy rainstorms. And that messes up the handles. And we still have the two wheelbarrows standing outside of the embassy garage, where they get wet by the evening, and then they swell, and the handles are all busting apart. And we have beautiful, they were beautiful wheelbarrows that should have a life of, you know, 20 years, but we're giving it a life of 20 minutes, the way we handle these things, you know. We should put them in the garage, over in the Shangri-La. That's why we got this great big Shangri-La. But no, what do? We pile things up on the floor, like all the lighting fixtures, we pile them all up on the floor. I said, put them in a box, so they'll be set in the corner. And when you want them, someday if ever, you'll just take them out and then stretch them out. Because there's no sense stretching them out on the floor and have it take up half the room, and you can't put anything in there, like wheelbarrows and other tools. And our garage here is a garage that we should really have more neighbors and loan them our tools. Because we have 6 sets of everything, which we got for during the School of the Master. Now, we should keep 2 sets in here of everything that we use, and things we don't use, take them down to the Shangri-La and store them in the Shangri-La in a special room, that room that we use, the little room that's not being used for anything. That would be a good room for having racks on the walls for all of our extra tools. So, you see, if we have people come and borrow it from us, that's great. If people come and borrow it from us and leave it outside in the rain so that it doesn't stay beautiful and nice, well, that we're not surprised about. But when our own leave it out in the rain, well, then we're kind of surprised. We're kind of chagrined about this thing here. Now, we want to always keep everything as nice as possible. It costs the same to give as it does to lend. Because when you lend, you have indeed given. And you have given up control of it, you have given up ownership of it for a period of time, and the people treat it just like they treat, well, no, they don't even treat it as good as they treat their own things. Their own things they want to put away nicely and wipe off the water and make sure it's nice. But somebody else's, they don't do that. Now, just take the instance of a husband and a wife. The wife goes to the hospital. The husband takes the clothes and throws it in the washing machine without looking at it. He throws it in the dryer without looking at it. And then he complains because it isn't washed right. The colors bleach into other things, or leach into other things. And the dryer is too hot for many things, and perhaps not hot enough for some other things. But if you are thoughtful enough to have a wife, and she's thoughtful enough to stay with you, and then she goes away for a day or two, you should be thoughtful enough to do her job or to hire the neighbor lady to come in and do it. Say, Peggy, my wife is going to be gone for a few days. Would you mind if I paid you to come over and do the laundry for us and clean up the house a little bit? And I'd like you to do it every day and do it, you know, just for an hour or so. And nobody has to be there while you're there. You got the key of the house. Just go in whenever you want and do it. And she would say, yes, be happy to. Or if you say, Juliana, would you come over and wash the clothes and clean the house once a day for me while Marjorie is in the hospital? And Juliana says, sure. And so every day while she's gone, sure. So Juliana comes over, and she's not being paid. So she does like the husband, throws everything into the laundry, throws everything into the dryer, gives a lick and a promise to the place to clean it up, takes a little feather duster to spread the dust around instead of picking it up. And yes, yes, yes. And so, but you see, that's a borrowed help. That's not a bought help. And it's just like when you give something away, you give it without expectation of return. And when you lend something, you really don't expect it to come back in the same shape you lend it, because that's just not the way that procedure works. How long do you own what you have borrowed? Anyone got the answer?
Until you give it back.
Until you give it back. Until you give it back, whatever you have borrowed is yours, 100%, completely, without reservation. And if you break it, you do what?
Replace it.
If you have trouble with the mower and it falls apart because it is 100 years old, what do you do?
Adjust it.
Adjust it?
Well, I'm buy a new one.
You buy a new one. No, you, if it falls apart,
oh, okay.
Adjust it seems a little bit sweet.
If it's already old, then I give it.
What?
It's old already when I give it.
When you lend it.
Lend it.
Yeah, when you lend it, give it. Give it is the right word, though. But the thing is, the neighbor who has borrowed it must never borrow something that's old, because it can too easily have something happen to it.
Okay.
And then when it does, you have to replace it. You have to either make it new or replace it. And that's not easy to do, because you want to judge right away. You want to say, oh, this was an old thing when I borrowed it from you. It really didn't run when I borrowed it. Well, why did you take it? Why did you take it? Never take anything that you don't want responsibility for, right? Never take anything you don't want responsibility for. And, yeah, like our neighbor borrowing our tractor, our Caterpillar tractor, the Caterpillar wheels started falling off of it, and he blamed us. And, hey, if he's going to borrow it, he's going to have to keep it in tip-top shape. And if it wasn't in tip-top shape, he'd have to put it in tip-top shape, you know? Now, that sounds pretty tough. That sounds pretty mean. But what does that really mean? If you're going to borrow something, you take full responsibility for it. If you're not going to borrow it, you don't take responsibility for it. If you're being given it, you take full responsibility of it. If you're not being given, then there's no choice. But I was amused at Gregor, when I loaned him part of the tractor, he said, well, why didn't you loan us the other part? This part fell apart. Now, the tractor you gave it to us, we used it for about 3 weeks, and then the thing fell apart. You know, I said, yeah, you wore it out. We gave it to you because it wasn't running anymore. You're lucky to get 3 weeks use out of it, you know. How did you do that? You know, but then he complained. He said, well, you know, you really should have that fixed up for Mark because he really needs one like this. And I said, Greg, you are kidding, aren't you? You are really kidding. I said, I am not Mark's keeper. I said, I may be Mark's father, but if I would have supplied everything that Mark needed in his life, he would never have done a thing. He would never have gone out and proved to himself how great he is. And the same with you, Greg. Everybody gives you everything. You don't know how great you are. You have never proved yourself to yourself. But, again, like Stefan says, I heard the tape. And perhaps one day Greg might even listen to some of these tapes, and he'll realize how great he is. He'll come down here thundering away. He said, well, so you think I'm great. All right, give me a chance. Let's see if I am. All right, we'll play with you. Go ahead. We'll give you a chance. We believe in you. Do we believe in Greg?
Yes.
That wasn't a very strong yes from anybody.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, we believe in him. But does he believe in himself?
Yes.
That was a very strong yes. That was a very proper yes. But you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes, I'm glad you do. So we give Greg all these kadoos, all these supportive compliments, and we don't want them back, but we give them to him. We give them to Mark. We give them to everybody. And I find it so charming. So charming. It costs the same to give as it does to lend. In other words, whatever you give or lend, it's no longer yours. You may get it back, but it's not the same thing, unless it's been completely overhauled. And even then, it's not the same thing. Whatever you give, give with your whole heart, and don't expect it back. Whether it is a knife, a teaspoon, whether it is a piece of bread, your car, your wife, your husband, your children, whatever you give, don't expect it to come back the same way, as it won't. Because there's always the possibility of miracles happening, and your wife, your husband, and children might come back quite different, renewed, believing in themselves. So, I will say, it costs the same to give or to lend. And it costs nothing to say, I love you.